news time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be here again. I don't know if you remember who I am. My name is Josh. I was really going to ask what Riz meant, but you can tell me what that means later, because I'm slightly older than you. But you let me know. Question I want to ask you, actually, is, have you ever wanted something that isn't yours? Maybe it's a thing a friend has, perhaps, a new phone, a new laptop. Might be a new accessory, an outfit, maybe a new game, like Call of Duty, apparently. Perhaps maybe it's a lifestyle that you want to have. You want to kind of travel the world. You want to be an influencer who has everyone follow you. Maybe you want to be a professional sportsman, perhaps, or a musician. What is it something that you want that isn't yours? But maybe to press the point a little bit, is it wrong to want what others have? Surely it can't be that bad to want something that somebody else has, right? Well, we've been looking at Exodus over the last several weeks, and you probably know the story already, right? We've come out of Egypt, out of the slavery that was there. We took all their things. We went through the river, the sea, and we got to the mountain, and we saw all the things, and we heard all the things that God told these people about how to live rightly with Him. And that's when we saw verse 17. Have a look at your Bibles. Verse 17, it's a short one. It said, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Do not covet." This 10th and final commandment really hits to the heart of how God wants his treasured people to live with him. And so this afternoon, very simply, I want to show you that if we desire other people's things, we forget all that God has given us, and we forget where our desires are meant to be pointing. But what is so different about this one? Seems a bit strange. I'd love for you to talk to the person next to you and answer this question on the screen. What is the 10th commandment? Why is it so different? Thank you, sir. 30 seconds for the person next to you. What makes this commandment so different? Ready, set, go. Alright, that's 30 seconds. Anyone got any thoughts? You're obviously talking, so I'd love to hear some thoughts. Hands up, I'm gonna come out and say hi. I'm gonna step down. Oh, this is exciting. Anyone any thoughts? Yeah, mate, so good. What's your name, sir?
Aiden.
Love to meet you, Aiden. What is the difference between this one and the other ones?
I just thought, like, this one's more, it's not, like, physical. Like, the other ones are more physical, and this one's, like, you don't really see it, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyone else have any other thoughts similar to that one? So it's not physical. Anyone else got any thoughts, other things that you thought? Yes, 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 hello. What is your name, miss?
Molly.
Good to meet you, Molly. What do you agree? Different things? What do you think?
It's the only command that doesn't reflect on other people.
Oh, interesting. Other people like that. Thank you, Molly. Brilliant, brilliant. I'm going to grab this first one, but I think this one actually, interestingly, affects lots of people. You notice as you look through the Ten Commandments that they're all external actions. What to do, what to say. It's interesting that it doesn't affect people like these other ones, and yet it says here not to feel different. Your desires are the things that it's hitting at. It's the desire that you're meant to have towards God. And I don't know, as you've read through over the last little while, that I reckon this one's the hardest one to keep. We look through the list and we go, crap, I haven't murdered anyone, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't really steal, I think that's all right, but coveting. Do you desire other people's stuff? I think that's really hard to do. And in fact, I don't think it's just greed that comes up here. Did you notice that it said, not just the house, but their neighbor's wife? Now that there is lust after someone else's wife. When it's their servants, that's pride. The problem with coveting is not just that you're being greedy, but it's any desire that you have that is opposite to God. And this commandment here actually exposes the real heart of the issue. For the Israelites, it shows an issue of the heart. That they weren't listening to God, they weren't following him, but in fact they were desiring other things. Things that the world wanted, but not what God wanted. Because if you remember the story, right, as they came out of Egypt, it wasn't just the promise of the land that they had, full of milk and honey, but remember that they actually plundered the Egyptians. They took all their things, all of their precious stuff. And it wasn't just those two things, but in fact at the mountain God said, "You are my treasured people. Out of the whole world, you will be mine." These people had everything. And so what this commandment shows us is that when we desire anything other than what God desires, we choose to reject him. I want you to imagine for me that you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe some of you aren't that lucky, I don't know. She loves you, he cares for you, you spend lots of time together, all that jazz. But one day, you start to see another guy. You see another girl. You start to covet her. You start to desire her. You really want him. How do you think your boyfriend would feel? How do you think your girlfriend would feel? Surely it's not too bad, you'd say, because it doesn't actually impact them. They would never know. But how would you feel? Would you feel rejected? Would you feel betrayed? This is where the issue is. It's actually something that we push towards onto others. Although it's internal and you can't actually see it, every human being, when given the choice, chooses with their desires to follow the world rather than God. Now, for those who follow Jesus, for those who put their trust in him, we know what he's done, right? That he has died to take away the wrong things that we do. But what if I told you that not only does he take away our sins, but he gives us everything in the whole wide world? I'm going to read 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. That's going to come up on the screen. I want you to hear what God has given us when we put our trust in Jesus. Have a listen out as I read it to us. It should be there, hopefully. It's not, that's fine. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to hear there's two things. Two things that we get when we trust in Jesus. Let me read it to you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Did you hear the two things there that we're born into? There's the living hope, not a dead one, not something that we just hope might happen, but a secure and a certain hope. And did you hear the second one? That we're born into an inheritance, something that will never spoil, perish, or fade. My shoes are starting to go. This is not the inheritance that you will receive. And did you hear where it is? It's in heaven, where God is. But what is the inheritance that we get? Well, it's eternal life with God forever, in eternal peace, in everlasting joy, in paradise. That's what God gives you, all who follow Jesus. And so that's what Jesus secures for us, this inheritance that we have. How do we keep on going coveting? How do we stop this way that we think and we feel towards other people's stuff? How do we stop and put this to death? Well, this is where the passage that we read in Galatians 5 is really, really helpful. So grab your Bibles, open it up for us. How can we go on not coveting and desiring other people's things? Have a look at Galatians 5, verse 16. It says there, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then skip down to verse 22, where the key verses here, I think, are so crucial. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Did you see it there? It says there that we are to keep in step with the Spirit, or it said earlier on to walk with the Spirit. God, when we trust in Jesus, has given us his Spirit to put off the old self, to say no to those desires that are in the way of the world, and to say yes to Jesus, to follow him and to live our lives having the desires that come from him. Those fruit, did you see the fruit there? Those are the things that we're to desire, to love others, to be patient, to be gentle, to be faithful, to be self-control in the way that we love other people. But gosh, this is hard. That's why we pray, don't we? That's why we meet together each week. That's why we open the Bible, because that's how the Spirit works in the Christian. To be able to desire not our own things, not the desires of the world, but the desires of the flesh. As a growing up, I lived with my mum and two brothers living in a single household, and we didn't have much. And there was such a desire to covet other people's things because people went on holidays, they flew overseas, people had new clothes, people lived these wonderful lifestyles. And I just felt so envious, so jealous of these people that had everything. And while I did that, I forgot all that God had given me. And even today, when I study at Bible college, I don't make any money at Bible college. People have wonderful lives that I don't have. And it's so easy to covet what they have and forget all that Jesus has done for me and all that he has given me because of how he died. What is it that you are prone to covet? Is it the person's status at school? Is it the things that they own? How can you be praying against these things? Can you be praying each day, help me to be content in what I have? Thank you, God, for all the blessings that you have, that he's given me. Will you pray that the Spirit will convict you of these things to help you serve him and to love him more and more at school and sport and at home and at work and at church? Will you pray that the Spirit will convict you to not follow the desires of the world or your own desires, but to have your desires shaped by the Bible and to live for God? Because as it said, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh along with its passions and desires. Why don't I pray that God might help us to do that now? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for the law, that it shows us who you are and shows us how to follow you well. We are sorry that we put ourselves before you, that we covet things that are not our own. Thank you so much that you have blessed us in everything through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we, through your Spirit, get to be able to call you Father. Help us to fix our eyes on you, to not follow the ways of the world, but to desire the things that you want us to. Help us to do this more and more, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.